Last week we were thinking about God's presence with us, and as today we come and he wants to shine in and through us. And so some verses from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me upon a rock. Lord, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Saviour. We were tenting last week for anybody that wasn't here. And today we are going to think about being lights. So first we'll sing number 367. Jesus is Lord, creation's voice proclaims it. Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have come to sing our hymns and songs, to say our prayers and to hear your word in the Bible and into our hearts. We do this so that we may put you at the centre of everything. Father, we know it's not easy to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. each day. We are tempted to put our possessions and our ambitions, our plans, our dreams, ourselves before him. We praise you for Jesus and for his love for each and every one of us. We thank you that he always puts us at the very centre of his care, and he is always seeking the very best for us. We praise you for his offer of life that is real, filled with his love, and free from everything that would spoil our friendship with you. We praise you that through his life, death, and resurrection, you set us free from the things that make us afraid, worried, uncertain. We ask your forgiveness when we make life hard for other people, and for those times when we want our own way. Forgive us and set us free, and fill us with your love. Lord, we pray for the world in need of your resurrection power. For a world where there is so much suffering and pain, where so many people have nowhere to live, nowhere to call home, nowhere to feel safe and secure. For a world where so many are driven from their homes through civil unrest, through wars not of their own making. And for those whose lives will never be the same again because of the horrors that they have witnessed, may the risen Christ bring hope and peace into their lives. We pray for those who work for peace, for those who take enormous risks to help those who are victims of war and conflict, for those who sacrifice their own comfort and security, for those whose words and deeds bring hope, for those who give little thought to their own needs because they only see the hurt of others. May the risen Christ bring them his grace. As we pray this morning, Lord, we pray for any we know to be in particular need, those who are ill, anxious, depressed or afraid, those who are seeking guidance and the presence of God. We pray for ourselves and all that is concerning us now and all that we may face tomorrow. May the risen Christ be with us. Lord, we praise you for bringing light into our darkness and joy into our sorrow, for filling our lives when we feel empty, for guiding us when we are lost, for restoring us when we are broken. You never change. You are always reaching out in love. You are the Lord. There is no God like you, no God besides you. You alone are the Lord, and we, your people, bring our praises in worship. And the people said, Amen. And we join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Continuing worship as we sing number 111, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. I love it as we were singing that hymn, and it just sort of takes us on a journey, doesn't it? If you remember last week, we were journeying in our tents in the wilderness. And as we were singing that, we're by the shores of Galilee. And I love the verse, in simple trust like theirs who heard beside the Syrian sea. And that really does encapsulate the reading for today. We celebrated Christmas, Jesus as a baby. And now Jesus is a grown-up. And as we come to our reading today, we would have heard the voice of God saying that Jesus is his son. Immediately after that, God's Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness for a time of temptation by the devil. Jesus, praise God, passes that test and then begins his ministry in the region of Galilee beside the Syrian Sea. Jesus begins to call his disciples and travel around the region. And so I'll ask Pauline, she'll give us our reading this morning.
The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 23, on page 968 in the Church Bible. The ministry of Jesus begins. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth, then left there and moved to Capernaum beside the Sea of Galilee in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah. The land of Zebulun and of Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined. From then on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." The first disciples. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. This is the word of God.
Thank you. When Matthew wrote his gospel, he was directing it to the Jewish people, and so he connects Jesus' life and ministry to in that region to the fulfillment of the prophecy. Did you recognize it? Isaiah chapter 9? Well, you're going to hear a bit more in a minute, so brace yourselves. The region with the two names that Pauline just read out, once thought to be dark and in the shadow of death because of its closeness to the Gentile nations and distance from Jerusalem, receive the dawning of a great light. And we know that that light is Jesus, our Messiah. And so we'll think about that in a minute. But first of all, we'll continue really our prayers of intercession. I always think when we sing this song, number 806, Beauty for Brokenness.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know. Take your heater with you. It's always a tricky one for the organist to play, so well done, Sue. Chorus everywhere. But I think that song kind of answers and speaks into everything that's going on, doesn't it, in our world at the moment. And so is the basis for what we'll talk about from God today. So let's pray, and I'm going to use the chorus and one of the verses. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, let tears fall like rain. Come, change our love from a spark to a flame. Lighten our darkness, breathe on this flame until your justice burns brightly again. Until the nations learn of your ways, seek your salvation and bring you their praise. Amen. A light has dawned, you'll be pleased to hear. Whilst I was preparing my preach this morning, I had a light bulb moment. Do you like having light bulb moments? Yes, yes. I always love that.
Not often.
Yeah, when it gets to our age, it kind of becomes an event, doesn't it? I love that little cartoon, you know, of a little light bulb appearing out the side of your head. And, you know, for those who don't even know what I'm talking about, what I'm sure you do, it's that often unexpected flash of inspiration. An insight or a realization when a complex problem, or for me being the scripture that I'm about to unpack, becomes clear, or a new idea is formed. And when you've been studying scripture for a long time, and those of us who speak about it, we always say it's lovely that it might be a well-known piece of scripture, but God always speaks something new into it. And as I was sharing with Pauline when we prayed earlier, there's so much in that package this morning that we might have to unpack it over a few weeks. But, you know, we have that epiphany sometimes when we are reading God's word, where the minute when the penny drops and we make a breakthrough. So I want us all to have a light bulb moment this morning. Okay? You up for it? Okay, as I said, thank you, Steve. Steve's up for it. Because we need to learn how to reflect the light of Jesus. We might feel a bit dull at the moment. You know, it is, after all, January, and we've got February yet to come. And as I said a few weeks ago, some of us are wintering. I'm considering full hibernation now. But as we read those words from Matthew, the words of Isaiah chapter 9 suddenly sprung out of that packet, the passage. And if they didn't, well, what were you doing at Christmas? Because we read them so many times. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, on them light has dawned. Doesn't seem 5 minutes since we heard them at Christmas, does it? Or does it? Reminding us again that the light isn't just for Christmas when we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. He is for life. And we would have heard that verse again, and we just did in our gospel reading from Matthew. So we get a little bit of Christmas again. Told you, I wish it could be Christmas every day. How long do you think I can keep this going? Oh, yeah. Is that my... How many sleeps? No, I don't. I don't look until after Easter. I'm focused Easter now. But we are reminded that in Jesus, we have seen a great light. And this time we see that the light doesn't only reveal itself through a baby in a manger. That child has grown up, as I said, and is now journeying throughout Galilee, proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven has come near. and inviting them then and us now to follow him. This time, as somebody said, as we come back to this passage from Isaiah, it's not simply to hear the story, but to be invited into the story. This time we not only give thanks for the light, but we receive an invitation to follow the light. Jesus is our light, the light of the and for the world. He lights our way. And when we follow him, we never walk in darkness. No matter how dark things may seem, Jesus still lights our way. But to be honest, we do wander sometimes, don't we? If we think about life at the moment, where is the light to be found? Because there is still darkness in our world. The news is depressing. As we've just sung that last song, we could pick out, couldn't we, conflicts and things that are going on in our world that speak into and out of that. There are still wars raging. Ukraine, Russia, Gaza, Israel, the Yemen, Myanmar, back in the news again this morning, Sudan. There is still stabbings and shootings again only this week on Monday and again yesterday. There is still hatred and division. There is still persecution of people of faith. There is still extreme poverty in the world. The stats suggest that approximately 9% of the population of the world, 700 million people, living with hunger and homelessness. That increases to 82% currently in South Sudan, where war is raging and civil unrest. So don't be in any doubt, if you already were, that there is still darkness in our world. And even perhaps in our own personal lives, we still face darkness. It may be health concerns for ourselves or that of a loved one. It might be frustration or upsets at work or in our communities. It might be financial concerns that seem impossible. It might be worry or stress, or just the general restlessness of life. You'll be pleased to know that we survived Blue Monday. That was last Monday, if anybody missed it. The saddest day of the year. As I've said to you a million times, every day has something, and Monday was designated Blue Monday. So hurrah, if you didn't even notice. Because that meant you were having a happy day on Blue Monday. But we do need to acknowledge that there is still darkness in the world. And so, as I said, we may wonder, where is the light? The prophet Isaiah was not afraid to acknowledge the darkness in the world at his time. He admits to living in a time of deep darkness, as he describes it in the passage. A time when Israel was split in two by civil war. A time when his own country of Judah was strong and wealthy, but had grown complacent. Sound familiar? They weren't concerned about the poor in their midst. In their arrogance, they didn't fear the countries that were actually threatening their borders. And they didn't believe that they needed the Lord's help to face their challenges. Today's passage from Isaiah is one of promise and hope. But it's important to remember that much of Isaiah's book is about judgment and warning. There was darkness in his world, and much of it was due to sin. And 700 plus years after Isaiah prophesied, Jesus came into a world that was still filled with darkness. Our gospel reading today begins with the news that John the Baptist had been arrested. And we know that he will stay in jail until he is finally beheaded. When John is arrested, Jesus, we learn, withdraws to Galilee amid a gathering storm over the imprisonment of John the Baptist. In Galilee, Jesus begins to proclaim exactly what John the Baptist had been proclaiming. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near, or in some versions, is at hand. And if this had got John the Baptist arrested, Jesus might have known it would bring him trouble too. The rulers of his day didn't want to hear about another kingdom coming and threatening their power. Darkness filled Jesus' world just as it filled Isaiah's and just as it fills ours today. But the darkness is why the light matters. If there is no darkness, then we don't need light. And if we close our eyes and refuse to acknowledge the darkness, then we see no need for the light. And we have no reason for hope. But there is a reason for hope and a reason for joy. Because we who walk in darkness have seen a great light. His name is Jesus, God's Son, our Saviour, the light of the world in our darkness, into our turmoil and conflict and chaos and despair came a great light. And John says he shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Jesus' time on earth gives us a glimpse of this light. He taught us that his presence on earth meant that the kingdom of heaven had come near. And he promised that when he returns, the light would shine fully and completely. That's what we've got to look forward to. Are you excited?
Yes.
This half are. Are you excited? But in the waiting, in this reading, Jesus gives us some clues for how to find the light and even how to reflect the light. For those of us who are visual learners, our reading paints a picture for us of what it means that the kingdom of heaven has come near, and it shows us where the light is to be found. We'll come back and explore the calling of the first disciples in the next few weeks, but jumping to verse 23 for those who are following. After Jesus proclaims that the kingdom of heaven has come near, we read that he journeys throughout Galilee doing three things: teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease. This is what it means that the light has come into the world. The kingdom of heaven comes near when Jesus teaches and proclaims and heals. And it comes near when his church, when believers, when we do the same. That's something worth thinking about, isn't it? Praying about and pondering the new things, as we were talking about at church meeting, that God has planned for us here. As we contemplate those three things, the good news of the kingdom being proclaimed. Now, I think, judging from your response at the start of this preach, that we can all agree there is a lot of bad news these days. But that hasn't changed. And that's why it's so important that the good news is proclaimed, because people are genuinely seeking good news. Unfortunately, good news does not sell papers, and it doesn't get top billing on our news programs. If you notice, when you turn on any news channel of choice, we immediately see some kind of breaking news banner. Now, how often is that good news? So what's the good news? I love John 3:16 when someone says to me, "What is the gospel?" Because that is the gospel in a nutshell, as Martin Luther said. It encapsulates our whole Christian faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, you can remember that, can't you? Okay? So when someone says, what is the gospel? What is the good news? Just give them that verse. And then if they start to ask questions, answer them. God loves you. God loves me. God loves the world. Jesus was sent to be light in the world, to redeem us from our sin, to offer us hope and healing. Now that should be breaking news every day, shouldn't it? So why are we not making it breaking news every day? Come on, guys. It will only happen if we proclaim it. And when it's proclaimed, the kingdom of heaven draws near. Jesus proclaimed the good news of the kingdom. He also taught throughout Galilee. And when we continue to learn and to teach what Jesus taught, the kingdom of heaven draws near. It sets us on the journey. We begin to follow Jesus. And then the real learning begins. We are disciples. Disciples are people who learn. Okay? We learn, don't we? Sometimes the hard way, but we learn. Learning is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Learning God's purposes for our lives. And it takes time, doesn't it? It takes patience and persistence and the willingness to keep learning about God and about ourselves. And when we do, the kingdom of heaven draws near. The gospel reading reminds us the kingdom of heaven comes near when Jesus heals. And when the church heals and when we heal, our world needs healing. Not just the physical healing, so much more than that. And when we participate in the healing of the world, we are continuing the work of Jesus. We are reflecting the light, offering his hope, sharing his grace and mercy, helping to heal the world. And when we do, guess what? The kingdom of heaven draws near. Not only does Jesus tell us that the kingdom of heaven has come near and then show us what he means by proclaiming and teaching and healing throughout Galilee, he also invites us to come into the light, to repent, and to follow him. And to all who follow Jesus are told something really awesome by Jesus. If we flick to chapter 5 of Matthew, it says, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others." Verse 14 and 15 for those who flicked over. We are the light of the world. If the people who walk in darkness are going to see a great light, it's going to be through us, through the followers of Jesus. Jesus is asking us to let our light shine by proclaiming the good news, by learning and teaching what Jesus did, and by participating in the healing of the world. Let our light shine before others that they would see the good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. There are still too many in our world dwelling in darkness, too many still without hope, too many consumed by the bad news constantly being proclaimed. So it's up to us to show them the light, to be the light in the world, to let our good works, our lives, our love for Jesus so shine that they may see that the light has come into the world through Jesus. We continue to give thanks for the light of the world who was laid in a manger because there was no other place for him. Here we give thanks for this light who went around Galilee teaching and proclaiming and healing and inviting others to follow. We give thanks for all those who have let their lights shine before us, who brought us into the light of Christ, and who helped us to put our hope in the light of Christ. And today we decide once again to let our light shine before others, that they too may join in the hope and giving glory to God. Amen. And so we pray. The buzz of the world interrupts our lives and fills our ears. Call us into your way of life, O God. The complaints of others settle in our mind and cloud our vision. Lead us into your vision of life, O God. The cries of the poor, the oppressed, and the outcast pierce our hearts. Guide us in your example of living for others, O God. Fill our hearts, fill our eyes, fill our ears with your love, O God. Let us be your hands and feet in the world. O Lord, come, change our love from a spark to a flame. Amen. So we'll sing in praise number 41. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Thank you.
Come down from the mountain with mountain-like faith. Walk on God's paths as bright shining lights. Live in God's ways with faith, hope and love. Go into the world, transformed and renewed. Amen.